Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
And good day. Pardon the tardiness. I'm your host, Jay Cruz, for Fantasy Sports Friday. It is Friday. It's just a little after 11 a.m. Pacific time here on HealthyLife.net radio, and time to get into a look at fantasy sports, fantasy football, basketball drafts, if you're into that. They should be coming up very soon. And Major League Baseball, the season's over. Fantasy sports and baseball has wrapped up. Unless you're doing daily fantasy with the playoffs, which are very exciting. And, you know, for a baseball fan, this is the big payoff. 162 games, then the playoffs start. For a team like the Houston Astros and Atlanta Braves, they got whacked. They got swept. So did the Baltimore Orioles, three really outstanding teams that had good seasons and got beat by the hotter team in the postseason. We'll see if that translates in the ALDS and NLDS, the National League Division Series and American League Division Series, before the championships in both leagues, respectively, leading on to the World Series. Of course, here in L.A., it's been a number of years in a row. Dodgers have won the National League West, and sometimes that's come back to almost kind of bite them in the backside. They are not always the hottest team going into the playoffs. In fact, their opponents, their little brother, if you will, division rival in the National League West right now, are the hottest team in baseball, San Diego Padres. They were playing really good second half of the season since the All-Star break. They seem to finally have gotten it all together. Most of their key players are back from injury. And the Padres they've been really hot. Although, about a week before the season ended, there was a three-game series. The Padres are behind the Dodgers by three games in the standings. They took game one. Dodgers got the next two. So that's going to be a very intriguing series in the National League. The other series in the National League, Philadelphia Phillies, have been awaiting the winner of the only best-of-three series that went to three games. That was the New York Mets against the Milwaukee Brewers. The Mets got in there with the doubleheader game 163, if you will. Although technically it was a makeup game for the Mets and Braves. They ended up splitting. That certainly upset the Arizona Diamondbacks fan base and ownership, who, you know, when you got two teams that go into a playoff or a situation, a doubleheader, and they both need to win one game, it could be, you know, I'm not going to go conspiracy theory guy here, but if I was a Arizona Diamondbacks fan, I would feel very powerless. Number one, your team's not on the field, and they, you know, could have won a few more games to get in there and not be in this position, so don't blame it on that schedule making and the Mets and Braves. But, you know, who's to say that the managers didn't happen to bump into each other in the back and say, hey, you guys take game one, we'll take game two. And, you know, not really a big deal unless you're the team that doesn't get in. So the Mets and Braves both qualified. The Mets have advanced. The Braves, they kind of limped into the playoffs. A lot of injuries, especially to their starting pitching. And then they drew the red-hot Padres in San Diego. And the Padres eliminated them in two games. The Mets took three to get past Milwaukee. The Mets will take on division rivals Philadelphia and its National League West rivals San Diego and Los Angeles. Both series start on Saturday. In the American League, the Kansas City Royals and Detroit Tigers both advanced over the heavily favored Houston Astros and Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles and Astros pretty much leading their divisions and in the wild card position almost all the way through the season. Both teams in the playoffs last year. Baltimore got eliminated pretty early last year, and same thing happened this year. The Royals and Tigers, a couple upstart teams that were from the are from the American League Central, and the Cleveland Guardians got the division championship, so they will be playing the Tigers. The Royals will be playing the New York Yankees. And, of course, the Yankees got to feel good. Baltimore was certainly a thorn in their side and pride in the American League East and pretty challenging. And they won't have to face the Astros if they advance. In the meantime, they got to get past the Royals, who are playing pretty red hot, and the Detroit Tigers, who were 11 games out of playoff contention in early August. They got in the playoffs, playing red hot baseball when it matters. And you also got to throw in the Chicago White Sox factor in those formula people. The White Sox, they had such a bad season. They nearly set the all-time record for worst team in baseball. Yeah, I kind of like the White Sox. I mean, if I lived in Chicago, sorry, Cubs fans, I would go for the Sox. I know the North Side is maybe a better part of town, and Wrigley Field has the the whole melancholy romance of baseball and day games and all the bars and stuff by Wrigley Field. But I don't know. Maybe one of the very first game I went to was an Oakland A's versus Chicago White Sox game. So therefore, I've always kind of liked the White Sox because they're one of the first live teams I got to see. Same with the Yankees, even though I'm an A's fan and they're nowhere near the playoffs. Anyway, Chicago White Sox losing 122 games this year. I think they tied the 1962 New York Mets. Now, the Mets in 62, or maybe it's 1960, it was very early in the 60s. Basically, the New York Mets were a then-expansion team. Remember, the Dodgers and Giants vacated New York or were moved by Major League Baseball to come out west. We used to have the San Francisco Seals, and I'm not sure who was in Los Angeles before that. Pretty much a spring training mecca for a lot of teams. In fact, speaking of the Cubs, they used to train on Catalina Island, which is very interesting, a long time ago. So, needless to say, the Giants and Dodgers took their teams out west, continued that rivalry out here, which is still one of the best in all of sports. Maybe the best in baseball. I don't know. I've lived in both parts. I've lived in Los Angeles the last 22, almost 23 years. I was born in Anaheim. But I was raised in Northern California. So I'm a little bit between. I like California teams in general. When it comes to baseball, my loyalties lie more with the Northern California teams. I went to a ton of games growing up, including A's. It was easy to get to the Coliseum, which will be no more. That's sad. I'm trying not to really think about it, but in a way, with the A's situation finally kind of coming to an end, it's like the old sword of Damocles hanging over your head. The A's ownership is just so pathetic. I did a show months ago kind of going into the whole thing, but at least it's finally over. And, now, the stuff is going to happen. They're going to play in Sacramento and eventually in Las Vegas. I think it's baseball in Las Vegas in the summer. Are you going to go? Do you go to Vegas in the summertime? Who does? It's 100-something bloody degrees even at night. The Diamondbacks play in the desert. They, of course, have the enclosed stadium. They keep it at 70 degrees. And, the Diamondbacks have had some success recently, not so much this year, the aforementioned National League wildcard situation where they didn't get in. Anyway, so back to the Mets. They were an expansion team that chose the colors blue from the Dodgers and orange from the Giants to kind of appease New York fans who had lost two teams and give them back a team. So the White Sox ended up tying that. And the reason I'm bringing up the White Sox is they're in the American League Central Division, and division opponents play each other more than they do other divisions, and especially with interleague play. I know it's changed a lot from what it used to be. And there were times where, since the 70s, one league had the designated hitter, the other one didn't. Now they both do. used to be interleague play, was a whole new thing. National League purists used to get their panties in a bunch going, oh, no, we can't have a designated hitter. Anyway, I think it's more exciting. Why have a pitcher go up there and, you know, bat and stuff? It's like, oh, the strategy of the double switch. It's like, you know, let someone go up there and take some cuts and let, you know, pitchers pitch. The only drawback, it seems, that pitchers nowadays are all, they throw hard, they throw fast, and they get Tommy John surgery almost an average of once or twice in a career nowadays. So that's an interesting thing, and there's a lot of theories on that. Interesting that they're kind of, well, they're brought along carefully now. You look in the day back when Nolan Ryan used to pitch, and he's an anomaly. I mean, he was just kind of a brilliant guy as far as his baseball pitching, the amount of innings he threw, the strikeouts, the no-hitters, and just kind of a throwback to that old-school baseball, Bob Gibson. And I'm not going to go back to Cy Young. I didn't see Cy Young play, but, you know, those old pitchers who definitely win complete games and definitely different from today, where there's pitchers taken out. Oh, they've thrown 100 pitches. They have a no-hitter going, but we want to rest them for later. Anyway, I have various thoughts on that. So, but bottom line, the Tigers and the Royals definitely benefited from playing the White Sox like 12 or 14 times a year. Both teams went something like, you know, 12-2 against the White Sox. So that's an extra, basically, 10 games each team was able to win, and that sort of helped close the gap that they were able to get those nice wins. Kind of like when Tom Brady was quarterbacking the Patriots and the rest of that division just stunk on ice. Buffalo wasn't near where they are now. I don't think the Bills Mafia had even started jumping and breaking tables yet. The Jets were nothing, although they had a couple years with Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez, which is interesting that Sanchez has been in more championship games than anyone from the Cowboys since 1996, and he's already in the broadcast booth. So Detroit and Kansas City definitely benefited from the schedule. Don't hold it against them. It just happened to be, and, you know, the White Sox, I hope they do better next year. They can only go up from here, and I'm sure my friends in Chicago that are listening that aren't Cubs fans are probably thinking the same thing. One of our hosts here at the station, Rabbi Wayne Dossick, who does a monthly show on third Wednesday every month, he's originally from Chicago. During his last show, just one of the breaks ago, how about the White Sox? The laughter was quite cool to just hear him chuckle at that. So Tigers and Royals benefiting from that, but they're there. They're playing with house money right now, and they both won a series, so congratulations to them. My predictions? I think the Yankees end up beating the Royals. It might take 5 games. These are going to be quicker series where the hot team coming in can steal a game nice and quick, and the team that's been off for a few days might be a little cold. That sort of starts to happen in all professional sports, and I really noticed this back in the late 80s when the Oakland A's were such a dominating team in that particular era. They went to 3 straight World Series, unlike the A's of the 1970s who won 3 straight World Series, and I believe they were underdogs in each one. I mean, they played Pete Rose, rest in peace. We'll talk about him a little later. Pete, Johnny Bench, Dave Concepcion, Tony Perez, and the Big Red Machine were heavily favorites against the mustache, bearded, long-haired guys from Oakland who came in and took the first 2 games, ended up taking 7 games to beat the Reds. And it was pretty much a large upset. Next World Series, they beat the Mets. Willie Mays was playing his final year as a member of the Mets back in New York for his final season. Oakland also got that one. I believe they won 7 games. And then the season after that, they played against that formidable Dodger team with that all-star infield, in which it's ironic, none of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. Steve Garvey, Davey Lopes, Bill Russell, Ron Say, Reggie Smith. Those folks aren't in the Hall of Fame. That was a good team. They eventually won a World Series not too long after that. Played a couple against the Yankees. And, you know, Oakland was able to get in there. But in the late 80s, when they went to 3 in a row, the A's were just so far superior to the rest of the American League West and much of baseball during the regular season, they rolled through the season. And, you know, when it got to be August and September, they weren't really playing super competitive baseball because they had such a big lead. So, you know, that's the time where managers start tinkering with the lineup. They, you know, maybe rest players a little bit, resting nagging injuries, making sure everyone's, you know, kind of fit and ready to go for the playoffs. And then, you know, they swept the Boston Red Sox both seasons that they lost the World Series. The one that they won was the one shortened by the earthquake, and they're playing against the Giants, which was kind of bittersweet. As an A's fan, you're happy to see them win, but an earthquake in the middle, stalling the World Series for like 2 weeks because it happened in San Francisco. The rest of the country had probably moved on. We were in the Bay Area just freaking out. And at the same time, with the World Series and your two Bay Area teams going against each other, even though it was 100% going for Oakland, it was just weird playing against the Giants because, you know, I've been to a lot of Giants games too, and I had a lot of friends who were Giants fans. They didn't exactly reciprocate their fondness or respectability of the Oakland A's, but that's their choice. So, but the A's, you know, had such a season where they cruised, and then they cruised in the playoffs by sweeping Boston. If they had to wait, you know, for the Dodgers the 1 year, Kirk Gibson, Dennis Eckersley. Dennis Eckersley just turned 70, by the way, and he was out there for the final Oakland A's games in Oakland last weekend. But, you know, the Dodgers were playing the Mets. That game, that series went seven, and the Dodgers came in baseball conditions and got that series in five. The Reds, 2 years later, same thing. They had to go seven games against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they swept the A's four games. So, you know, the team playing hot at the end is probably the team, you know, to put your chips on or at least watch, and they're going to be dangerous and a tough out. Right now that is the Tigers, it's the Royals, it's the Padres, and maybe the Mets, because they had to fight a little bit to get here. In the meantime, you've got better teams who won divisions and have been waiting, tinkering, resting players, particularly the pitching staff, and that would be the Dodgers, the Yankees, who are probably going to end up playing each other in the World Series. I wouldn't mind that. It's been a long time since the New York-LA thing has happened, and, you know, as a sports fan, what's better than an East Coast-West Coast championship series? Unless you're a Tigers fan and pulling for them. Or if you're purely rooting for the underdog and new teams. I wouldn't mind seeing the Padres get there. They've never won a World Series. They have participated in a couple. Didn't win them, though. It's been a while since the Tigers won a World Series. And Detroit, you know, that's a city that's been through some tough stuff. You know, it would be a nice thing for them to get a championship. It's been a while for the Yankees. And Kansas City has won semi-recently. I think 2016 they won the World Series. Although, you know, they go up and down. They had a great team and, you know, sort of tore it down. And they're one of the franchises that, you know, like the Tigers, doesn't spend a lot of money because they don't have a lot of money. Like the Yankees and Dodgers with the big area and the TV contracts that, you know, they're able to take advantage because the revenue sharing doesn't happen in baseball like it does in other leagues. It was ironic. I was talking to a friend of mine who, he's also from the Bay Area. We grew up Oakland A's fans, and he was like, baseball's just dead to me. You know, the A's are gone. Major League Baseball did nothing to help him. And baseball's just dead to me. I'm like, okay, I still love baseball. It has its place. I'm definitely a little more interested in football because that season is fully going on, and baseball's winding down, only a few teams playing. Fantasy baseball is over. I finished in fifth place in one league, consolation championship, meaning I get the first pick in next year's draft. That's cool. And I finished in sixth place in my other league. So that's better than 10th place last year, which was in a 12-team league, and now it's up to 14. We expanded a couple teams. And, you know, maybe with the dilution of talent and expansion, I was able to gain a couple spots and compete in the playoffs. So it's pretty much a decent season, and I think I have a pretty good team heading into next year. Again, we do a salary cap and a keeper league, so it's about, you know, how much we pay fictitious dollars for these players in an auction, and I happen to like that format a lot better. I know we've talked about the draft and the auctions, or I've talked about it, and you've listened to those things. So, you know, with fantasy baseball wrapping up, it's just fun to enjoy the playoffs. I don't do really daily fantasy so much. I just kind of enjoy the playoffs, and it's a lot of drama, and it's kind of fun to watch them go without really having a horse in the race, you know. It would be cool to see the Dodgers win a World Series. I secretly have been rooting for them to win a World Series, even though I live in L.A. and I do pay attention. I listen to Dodger games all the time. I listen to their station quite a bit, the AM 570 station here in L.A. that carries the Dodgers, the Clippers, and the Chargers, because I get the best reception on that as opposed to the station that carries the Lakers and the Angels. You know, the other AM station does a lot better. And the Dodgers broadcast is a complete professional presentation. You feel like you're listening to Major League Baseball with Rick Monday. He's just cool. He's been there ever since I've been in L.A. And, of course, Vin Scully, who was the announcer for so many years. The reason I kind of, well, first of all, I have a lot of friends who are Dodger fans. They would be extremely happy to see a championship. The only drawback to L.A., any L.A. team, or any local team, wherever you live, winning, is that you're probably going to deal with fans that just can't handle it. Meaning, you might have fireworks going off in your neighborhood, and it's not the 4th of July. So, if the Dodgers get eliminated, there will be no fireworks. But, when I moved to L.A., I was like, you know, I'll be living in Dodgerville. I don't want to. Anyway, the amount of times I've seen that Kirk Gibson replay, I'm kind of over it now, as it happened so long ago. And, you know, life just moves on. But, you know, I told some friends of mine here in L.A. how much that was just a sad day in sports for me as a hardcore Oakland A's fan. And loving Dennis Eckersley is one of my favorite players. And his redemption story was really cool. Starting pitcher, recovering alcoholic. Got sober, became a great relief pitcher for the A's, one of the best relief pitchers in Major League Baseball history, except for that game against Kirk Gibson, and then won the next season against Robbie Alomar of the Toronto Blue Jays. But the fact that Kirk Gibson is such a hero in Los Angeles, I'm like, can the Dodgers get a new hero? I'd rather see Shohei Ohtani being the face of the franchise and the guy who is, you know, the fan favorite for winning a championship, or Mookie Betts, or Kike Hernandez, of all people, anybody. I just don't want to see Kirk Gibson so much anymore. I'm Jay Cruz, Fantasy Sports Friday. We'll be back. And we're back sooner than I expected as I play the commercial bumper music from the host who just did a show. And now I'm sitting here trying to take that out of the queue and put in the commercial disc for Fantasy Sports Friday. Yep, this is live radio. We didn't pre-tape this one. Otherwise, this would have easily been edited out. But nonetheless, we'll be back in a minute and take a look at the National Football League. Updates on players and a look at the games coming up this weekend in a moment.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
All right, we're back. Little technical difficulty, a late start, and feeling a little under the weather, but that doesn't matter. We're back. Taking a look at fantasy football coming up in week 5 and some key players and some key injury updates that might influence you on starting or sitting particular players. Let's start with Jonathan Taylor, running back of the Indianapolis Colts. I have him on one of my teams. He's been sidelined this week so far in practice, as has quarterback Anthony Richardson, who's dealing with an oblique injury. Either player made it in Wednesday's practice. This isn't quite alarming, but Taylor's a legitimate worry this week after he picked up a supposedly mild high ankle sprain on Sunday. His backup is Trey Sermon. If you need to pick up somebody, handcuffing the running back, or in this case, maybe the quarterback, Joe Flacco, might be available on the waiver wire. Trey Sermon, I believe, is certainly available. Flacco, maybe not, because he did well in Cleveland last year and did good last week for the Colts. They upset the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if it was a big upset, but they were underdogs. Nick Chubb is back in business. Nick Chubb had a devastating knee injury last season about this time of the year. He's been dealing with the rehab of that, multi-ligament, multi-surgery knee repair. And he's ready for his regular season debut pretty soon. Cleveland Browns can certainly use the help. They're struggling. And I just got to say, karma. Well, I don't want to root against Cleveland because they're a city and a team that has never been... Browns have never been to a Super Bowl. They did win NFL championships back in the 60s prior to the Green Bay Packers' dominance, back in the days of Jim Brown and one of my best friends growing up's uncle blocked for him, Monty Clark, and went on to coach the 49ers, Detroit Lions, and was offensive line coach for the undefeated greatest team ever, the 72 Dolphins. Anyway, the Browns haven't really been all that since then, and I, like many other people, was quite besmirched that they went out and paid so much money and guaranteed money for Deshaun Watson, who, let's just say he's got some moral issues and sitting out of league suspension has been ice cold in the time since Cleveland signed him. I'm sure they're trying to get out of that big guaranteed contract. But Nick Chubb, pretty good running back. I have Ford, the other running back in Cleveland. His time might be downplayed pretty soon, but he's done okay so far. Very good rookie, New York Giants, Malik Nabers out of Louisiana State, LSU. He's a long shot for Week 5. He had a concussion about a week ago against the Dallas Cowboys on the Thursday night game near the end, trying to make a catch on the sideline. Ended up banging his head on the turf and was unable to get up. Malik Nabers is a maybe. I would probably start somebody else if he's on your team. They play the Seahawks. The Giants should be fairly well rested, and they're starting to play a little bit better than the first couple weeks. Daniel Jones is was on the bottom third or bottom fourth in as far as percentile in NFL quarterbacks, but has played better recently. So let them play on the Seahawks, and they have to travel all the way to Seattle for that. And the Seahawks are an improved team, even though they've actually been pretty good the last 2 years, making the playoffs and then not making the playoffs with identical 9-8 records and a new coach and a little bit more of a younger roster currently going. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been designated to return from the injured list. He's eligible to play this week for the Chiefs. He's either going to help Kansas City's backfield by taking over and getting the carries and the receptions. Kansas City's had a lot of injuries on the offense. The only guy who's not injured is Travis Kelce, but since he's the only real threat the Chiefs have besides Patrick Mahomes, he's going to get all the coverage because he's that good, and by now he's certainly not a secret. The wide receivers have been injured. Running back Isaiah Pacheco's out for like 6 weeks, so Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the Chiefs are definitely going to be happy to have him back, and if you don't have him on your team, might be somebody to pick up on the waiver wire. Houston is getting a little healthier. Tank Dell, who missed last week's win with a chest injury, is probably going to be back for Sunday's game against the Bills. Joe Mixon didn't practice Wednesday, but seems better after he managed to practice last Friday. Now, the Bills have three players who won't be starting, so that's something to consider there. Trey McBride, pretty quality tight end for the Arizona Cardinals, is back, or he'll be back. They play the 49ers this week. Side note, Northern California is having an incredible heat wave. I called my sister the other day as we're trying to score Oasis tickets for that big reunion show. And it's going to be on my birthday next year, so she wants to get in on it, have a good time, celebrate with her brother. And Oasis is playing on my birthday in L.A. next year. Tickets go on sale in about 25 minutes. So I'm going to wrap up and get off the air and trying to do that. Anyway, it was 107 up there the other day. West Coast is having a bit of a heat wave. It's warmer here in Los Angeles, too, although not as scorching as 107, but it's been predicted to be the hottest game at the 49ers Levi Stadium in that stadium's semi-short history. It's odd because, you know, for so many years, the 49ers played at Candlestick Park, which was, how can I put this nicely, a dump. It was no fun for baseball and slightly better for football, but not that much. Anyway, they got the new stadium. They built it in Santa Clara, which is 50 miles south of San Francisco. They should be called something else, but the San Francisco 49ers, but we're not going to get into that today. And the new stadium doesn't have any shade. It's like, you know, talking about the A's moving to Las Vegas. Well, the 49ers practically moved to Las Vegas because in the fall they get really good weather. And I remember games in the fall at 49er games when it's fall and should be cold were warmer than games in the summer at San Francisco Giants games. Nonetheless, Trey McBride is back, and the Cardinals, who won on opening week beating the Rams, are desperately looking for a win. Trey McBride might help them close the gap, although I think the 49ers, definitely the stronger team. Jacksonville has not won a game yet. The locker room is starting to point fingers, and Trevor Lawrence is saying Coach Peterson has not lost the team. Evan Ingram has a hamstring injury, and Travis Etienne, running back, shoulder injury, both practiced this week and should be ready to play. Now, bye weeks are starting to happen, so you might look at your lineup and go, hey, how come this guy and this team isn't playing? Well, because bye weeks are now happening. So this is the time to start looking at trades. Plus, you're 4 weeks into the season. If you're 500 or less, it might be a time to take a look at some of the teams in your league and look at some of their strengths and weaknesses and see how you might be able to make a trade that would benefit for both of you. Actual assessing another team's needs helps make a trade easier. It takes very little time to identify the teams that do legitimately match up with your squad need for need. Often managers waste their time and everyone else's with spamming the entire league with offers involving a specific player they would like to get without respect to any other person's immediate needs. You know, you want to lead with a reasonable offer. Your first trade proposal doesn't necessarily have to be your best and final, but it should at least get the conversation started. And that's something you can include in your trade proposal notes, going, hey, I just want to get a conversation started. What do you think of this offer? You know, we can negotiate. I also put in there going, my team needs healthy running backs. Your team needs healthy tight ends. I have a surplus of A, you have a surplus of B. We can help each other out. You know, plus with the bye week, you might have a quality player on your team that's sitting out. You might be short of a particular position. Now, oftentimes, smart players will sort of get around those things, looking at, especially with quarterback and other teams that have the same bye week. For instance, I ended up getting Lamar Jackson in one league, and I really coveted Jaden Daniels, who is having a phenomenal season so far for the Washington Commanders, who, by the way, are my kind of underground underdog sexy team of the year. Last year was Detroit. I think everybody was on the Lions. They'd won the second half of their games pretty strong. They went all the way to the NFC Championship. If Dan Campbell would play football or coach football, not like it's a video game, they would have been in the Super Bowl. And they did beat the Chiefs last year on opening day, so they could have possibly won the championship, but they didn't. Anyway, this year Washington is the team. Right now they're 3-1. Their quarterback, Jaden Daniels, Heisman Trophy winner from last year, second pick overall in the draft. He is throwing 85% completion rate the last two games. The Washington Commanders, still hard not to call them by their old name because just old habits, like calling the Chargers San Diego or, you know, Oakland for the Raiders. Any of those old habits from, you know, days gone by. Jaden Daniels is just really playing well. Coach Dan Quinn is turning the defense around. He is a defensive coordinator. That's where he comes from. He was Dallas's defensive coordinator, head coach of the Falcons, and before that, defensive coordinator for the Legion of Boom, Seattle Seahawks, with Richard Sherman, and that team that did win a Super Bowl and go to another one. So Dan Quinn is turning things around in Washington. Jaden Daniels is really turning things around. Bottom line, I wanted to get him on my auction dynasty team, but he had the same bye week as Lamar Jackson. And I'm like, well, he's not going to be able to fill in when Jackson's out. And, you know, I'm probably going to start Lamar Jackson every game. So I held off on getting a quarterback. I did get Jaden Daniels in my other league, which was the snake draft. And I've played him the last couple weeks because my other quarterback was Jordan Love, or is Jordan Love. And luckily, Jaden Daniels had two of the best games in quarterback history for anybody, not just a rookie. So he certainly has pulled that off. They looked really good on Monday night a couple weeks ago against Cincinnati, a game that the Bengals were heavily favored. And last week went on the road and beat the Arizona Cardinals, put up 40-something points on them in Arizona. Again, underdogs. And they're a 3-point favorite this week against Cleveland. So watch out for the Commanders. I also put a little wager on them for season victories. I think 8.5 is the total that they have to get to, meaning they need to win 9 games. And they've got 3 so far. So they need to win 6 more games, and, you know, they've played 4 so far. So pretty much 500 football will cash that in for me. So Washington's a team to kind of check out, playing against Cleveland this week. That's a team really circling the drain. So, but definitely, you know, talk to your other owners and, you know, keep in mind that most of your owners go to the same websites you do. They subscribe to the same newsletters and blogs. So you do got to kind of do some research. Depending on what city you live in, you know, lean a little more heavily on the team that's in your city or region. I get more Rams and Charger information than some of my competitors do. May get more East Coast teams information or Midwest because they're kind of all over the country. I think I'm me and another guy, the commissioner, we're more West Coast. He's in Arizona, but I, you know, I'm a little more connected with the California team. So that will help give you a little bit of insight and knowledge that maybe some of the other members of your league might not get based on their coverage and the fact everybody reads the same blog. So, you know, be fair and, you know, explain to other owners, you know, why you're looking to make a trade and how it can actually benefit the two of you. So many trade proposals, as I've said before, let me give you a piece of crap for a big old pile of shinola. I cannot tell you the amount of times people have tried to rip me off, and it's laughable. So the trades I do make are from owners who do provide some fair trades where both teams kind of walk away thinking they won the trade. I'm Jay Cruz. I think you're winning today. It's Fantasy Sports Friday, and it's Friday. That's always a good thing. We'll be back.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake. And you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
All right, let's continue Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm your host, Jay Cruz. If you want to reach me and talk fantasy sports, jaycruzmedia@yahoo.com. That's my email, jaycruzmedia@yahoo.com. Taking a look at the upcoming Week 5 in the National Football League, kicked off last night in Atlanta, where the two rivals from the NFC South put up a lot of points, kind of a high-scoring Thursday night game. You can tell a few weeks into the season, the offenses are starting to click. Normally the first couple weeks to month, the offenses are a little behind due to the fact most teams don't play their starters in preseason to protect from injury. And they start off a little cold, and the defense has a bit of advantage. It's easier to coordinate a defense and an offense, get everybody on the same page. But a high-scoring game last night, the Falcons winning that 36-30. Kirk Cousins starting to play good and winning games on, you know, the big national TV games. So Atlanta turning things around a little bit. Tampa Bay, well, they beat Philadelphia, I think, last week, and they will go back to the drawing board. The first of the NFL international games coming up this Sunday, 6:30 on the West Coast on the NFL Network, or if you're like me and have the NFL Plus Premium app, you can watch it live on the app or, you know, watch the replay if you don't want to get up at 6:30. I'll be dog-sitting, so I'll be up at 6:30 because dogs wake up at about 6 a.m. or earlier because they don't go to work. Anyway, the Jets and Vikings will be playing in London. Minnesota's off to a red-hot start. They're 4-0. I don't know if anyone really saw that coming other than hardcore Viking fans, and they probably had some doubts. You got a division where Detroit was really good last year, made the playoffs, obviously NFC Championship game. Green Bay was pretty good last year. They also gave the Niners a scare in the NFC division playoffs, and they whacked the Cowboys before that in the wild card round. So most people, rightly so, figured, you know, I think Detroit and Green Bay might be playoff contenders, and then Caleb Williams coming into Chicago, they got a lot of love too. Seemed like Minnesota was the odd team out. Well, everyone's laughing last in Minnesota. They're 4-0. Sam Darnold, who was brought in to kind of be a, I believe, a hold the fort space training guy for quarterback J.J. McCarthy, who blew out his knee in preseason, is out for the year. Sam Darnold, who's been around the league, is finally starting to click. Minnesota's 4-0. The Jets are 2-2. They probably are trying their damnedest to get Davante Adams, who has decided he would prefer to not be a Raider anymore, and wants to play with one of the quarterbacks he's played either in college or the pros. Good for him. Hope it works out. I don't want to see him go to the Jets. I'd rather see him go to the Saints. But I'm not in charge of that. Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr, his two quarterbacks of choice. He played with Carr briefly with the Raiders till the Raiders turned the page from Derek Carr. Questionable. And, of course, had a good season, a good career so far with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, racking up a lot of Pro Bowl stats. And Rodgers hasn't had a receiver quite on that level in New York, although Garrett Wilson's good. Garrett Wilson would be better if they were to get Davante Adams. Davante Adams says he wants to go to the Jets. We'll see what's happening. They're currently in London. The Baltimore Ravens will visit the Cincinnati Bengals. The Ravens are favored on the road. Bengals finally got off the schneid last week and got their first victory. And, of course, they had that they dropped that Monday nighter against Washington. Baltimore is now 2-2 after losing their first two games, including one to the Raiders, which was a little bit of shock because they had a 10-point lead late in the game. Baltimore, I think, is finally getting their stuff together, and I think they're going to make short work of the Bengals, who are not as strong as they think they are. Indianapolis, I mentioned them, with Jonathan Taylor and Richardson maybe not playing, and they're 2-2 and visiting the winless Jaguars. These two teams are division rivals, and it can happen. Usually by now, a team that hasn't won a game will probably creep up and win a game. So Jacksonville, according to the odds makers, is favored by 3. I think that has to do with the fact they're hungry, they're the home team, and the Colts have some injury situations. I don't know if this game's going to be on in your local area, but if it is, it might be a good day to do some yard work or record it and score points with the rest of your family or friends. You know, maybe make that trip to church that you keep saying you're going to do. Not that I'm saying don't watch football, but the Miami Dolphins visiting the New England Patriots, two teams that are 1-3, two teams that are offensively struggling. Of course, the Patriots came in, rookie quarterback, using Jacoby Brissett. They don't have a lot of offensive power. Their defense is respectable. Miami Dolphins, a lot of offensive firepower that's been short-circuited with Tua Tagovailoa and his at least fourth concussion in his NFL career, which has only been about 4 years, maybe five tops. They signed him to a mega contract a couple weeks ago against Buffalo. He just ran headfirst into, of all people, DeMar Hamlin, who was practically dead a couple seasons ago on that field against the Bengals with a hit directly to the heart. And he's gone through some recovery. Anyway, Tagovailoa just ran into him and got a concussion. And his career is actually in peril. He's had so many concussions that people are like, dude, maybe football is just not for you anymore if you want to live life. You're only in your 20s. Anyway, Dolphins and the Patriots should be a low-scoring game, meaning they'll both hit the 30s because things don't go as always planned. New England's favored in this game being the home team by 1. And they have a better defense, I believe. They're a little more together right now than Miami, who's a team circling the drain. I didn't think Miami was going to be as good this year. I didn't think it was going to go this bad, though. I just figured that something would come down to earth. I mentioned Cleveland before. They need a victory pretty bad, but they're playing a red-hot Washington Commanders team who's favored by 3.5 points at home. As I mentioned, Jaden Daniels, I think he's going to be Rookie of the Year. The way he's playing, if he continues and stays healthy, there's really no reason he shouldn't. A great draft pick by the Commanders, and so far they're doing good. They're 3-1. I think they should handle the Cleveland Browns this Sunday. The Bills and Texans, two teams that are 3-1, two teams that were in the playoffs last year. I wonder if Stephon Diggs, currently a member of the Houston Texans, is fired up for this game. He was a Buffalo Bill, and he had some issues, as wide receivers do. They don't get the ball thrown to him every time. They're always open. Anyway, they traded Stephon Diggs to the Texans, and Josh Allen has pretty much said, hey, it's great not to have those me kind of guys. Anyway, Buffalo has some injuries. They're a little more well-rested as they played last Thursday of the week before against Baltimore for their first loss. And the Texans, 3-1. Kind of leaning Texans on this game. It'll be on CBS if you're looking for that. The Bears beat the Rams last week. The Rams missed a couple field goals, but the Bears outplayed them. And the Bears, of course, I don't know what it is, but their defense and special teams always seem to make plays. Doesn't matter who the coach is or the players. That's just a franchise. For whatever reason, their defense makes plays. Always a good pick, either for your starting or backup defense special team unit, because they make a lot of great plays on special teams. The Bears are 500 at 2-2. 4-point favorites over the Panthers, who are, they're not good. They're a little better with Dalton playing instead of Bryce Young. We'll see how much longer that goes. Bears are favored by 4. The Raiders have beaten the Denver Broncos every game since they moved to Las Vegas, and I think the season before. I think they've won 8 in a row. Little drama with the Raiders, even though they beat the Browns last week. They did spot Cleveland 10 points. And they will be taking on the arch-rival Denver Broncos. Broncos with a hard-fought victory over the Jets last week. They're 2-2. Sean Payton trying to work with Bo Nix, talented quarterback out of Oregon. This will be an interesting game. Denver's favored by 2.5. The Raiders have won 8 in a row. Eventually, that's going to break. But the interesting thing with, you know, Davante Adams requesting a trade and then having a quote-unquote hamstring injury, didn't seem to bother him last week. Maybe other guys will step up, and sometimes that happens. Nonetheless, the trade has not been consummated yet, and that's up to Tom Telesco to get on the horn, figure that out. Did mention the Cardinals, who are 1-3, visiting the 49ers, which is predicted to be the hottest game in 49er history. As I know, no game at Candlestick Park was ever this dang hot. They're having a heat wave in Northern California, and when they built that stadium, they conveniently somehow forgot to put up any areas with shade. So no matter what, you're sitting in a sun-drenched stadium in Santa Clara, where it can get pretty warm. And, you know, October, they have the quote-unquote Indian summer, where it just gets hot in late September through October, hotter than the summer for a couple weeks. Anyway, that's happening in Northern California, and now we'll see if it affects some of the players stamina-wise. George Kittle had to get some IV treatments a couple weeks ago. He played good last week. Seems to be healthy. Christian McCaffrey is still out for the 49ers, although his backup, Mason, I keep forgetting his first name, and I know it's not Jason Mason, because that would be like a childish thing to do. Let's name our kid Jason Mason, because it rhymes. Anyway, he's been playing very good, and I'm looking for the Niners to probably win that game. Much stronger team, favored by a touchdown. It's going to be a lot of cheeseheads in L.A. at the SoFi Stadium. They're taking on the Rams. Rams definitely are desperate for a victory. They're 1-3. Their wide receivers are extremely hurt. Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp both are out. Green Bay's getting quarterback Jordan Love back. The Packers are favored by 3 on the road. And there's going to be a lot of cheeseheads at that game. A lot of people wearing green. Mentioned Malik Nabers of the New York Giants might not play, still dealing with a concussion, visiting the Seahawks in the Emerald City of Seattle, or southern as Alaska, as Jimmy Johnson, former Cowboys coach, used to call it. Seahawks have improved. They got a new coach. I love Pete Carroll. But the Seahawks turned the page, and they're 3-1, a little bit younger team, revitalized defense, and Geno Smith started cold last Monday, but they had a pretty good comeback and gave the Lions a scare. The Seahawks are a scary team at 3-1 and currently leading the NFC West ahead of the Niners, Cardinals, and Rams. The Niners might be the only team to worry about for the Seahawks in that division. Sunday night, it'll be a rematch of two teams that have met more times in the Super Bowl than any other two teams in history, Cowboys-Steelers. Pittsburgh is still not playing Russell Wilson. They're going with Justin Fields. They're 3-1. And, you know, had a tough-fought loss last week to the Indianapolis Colts. Cowboys are 2-2. They did get on the correct side of the winning ledger last week against the Giants on Thursday. They've had a little time off, and they're traveling to Pittsburgh. It's going to be a crazy environment. Pretty much any team gets fired up when the Cowboys come to play them. That'll be the Sunday night game on NBC and Peacock. Pittsburgh a slight favorite in that game. And then Monday night, Kansas City. They're undefeated. They're 4-0. And they'll be hosting Derek Carr and the New Orleans Saints. Derek Carr and the New Orleans Saints, one of the two teams Davante Adams said he would like to go. I don't know. I can't really blame him. The Raiders are definitely in a, you know, holding pattern, transition pattern. They're going through some changes. They have some issues on offense. And, you know, Adams is 32, and he's like, oh, we got so many more years left. You know, trade me to a place where they have a legitimate quarterback. Although I like Gardner Minshew. Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr, much better. Even though their two teams are 2-2, as are the Raiders. So I don't know how much better they are. Other than Adams would feel more familiar with either his college buddy and one season with the Raiders and Aaron Rodgers, who he had a legitimate all-pro golden career before being traded to the Raiders, in which he asked for that too. Anyway, wide receivers, they're pretty much prima donna divas in today's football. But I don't know how that's going to happen as far as I think the Raiders are going to do the best thing for their team, as teams should do. They're under no obligation to trade him to a team he wants to go to. We'll see what happens. We'll probably know by next week, but we won't know by the Saints-Jets games this week. I'm Jay Cruz. I hope you enjoyed Fantasy Sports Friday. If not, you can enjoy it next week or on demand or tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific time, Saturdays. Let's wrap up. Until next week, thanks for listening.